Welcome to episode 99 of the Analog Assault Podcast. This week we're talking all about Cyberpunk 2077. So let's go!
You're listening to Analog Assault, a video game podcast by Mulehorn Gaming.
Y'all ready for this? Cyberpunk 2077? Who's ready for some cyberpunk?
Oh man. This guy.
Yeah, you guys, I'm really excited to talk about this. I've been like studying up. We had a week off, so I got to like read up on all this, and prime time's gonna help me.
Homework.
Exactly. We had some homework. So before we get into this, guys, just want to say, if you like the content here and you want to help support MHG keep the lights on, then smash that sub button right here on Twitch. And you can watch us live on Twitch at twitch.tv/Mulehorn Gaming every Thursday night at 8:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. So, everyone, I was going to say guys.
Yes, Mule.
Don't say guys. It's
guys.
Good, man.
Yeah. What you been playing? What you been watching? What you been doing?
Well, as you may guess, Assassin's Creed Odyssey. I
never would have guessed.
I thought you were playing, right? Destiny.
Well, you know, no. I have the map completely void of question marks.
Oh,
yeah. Wow.
Finally, the story.
The whole right? map?
So far, there's two places I haven't explored yet.
Wow.
They're small places. About to go to a major part of the story. And I have two cultists to kill before I have the main one.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's spoiled for who the main one is.
Yeah. 160 hours.
Wow.
Dang, dude.
And I'm really loving taming animals now. It's a lot of fun. Okay. Yeah.
Interesting.
When you tame animals, mm-hmm. does your skill grow for what kind of animals you can tame?
No.
It's
the higher... The more points you put into it, the bigger animals you can get.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Okay.
I had
bears and lions.
Yeah, bears is the highest.
Lions, tigers, bears.
Alpha animals. The lynx is the best because they're like freaking troll ninjas, man.
Oh,
dude,
they
jump on your back and they're like,
oh, they're
yeah.
Yeah. No, I don't.
I'm like,
when you
get
to the one island where you run into them for the first time, oof.
Yeah.
They
I ran into a mountainside one time, and when I was done, I had slayed about 25 of them. I was like, holy crap. That was a heavy litter. And that and My Hero Academia, I think I'm at the end of season 3.
Damn.
So it was like 50 episodes. Holy crap.
Yeah.
So what part are you at now?
Let's see. All Might is officially done and okay. Torch has been passed.
See, I've watched that episode multiple times and every single time you really get the feels on that
yeah,
one.
Yeah, I'm like,
if there's anything you can get feels from that show, it is that episode.
Yeah. All Might can be a cheese ball, but man, when he really lays it on,
mm-hmm. It's your turn now.
Right. Right. That's me, man. How about you guys?
I finally finished The Expanse. I'm loving that. Now I'm just waiting for the next season. I'm really excited for whenever that mm-hmm. starts. Did that. I've been watching some animes. What did I watch? I don't remember what I watched. It was something real short. Oh, I rewatched. I guess apparently I'd never. A real popular one is ReZero. It's one of the first isekai about this guy who gets teleported to a kind of fantasy world, and every time he dies he basically respawns at a later time, but he keeps all the memories of what happened, so okay. He tries to fix problems by doing that. He doesn't ever, I think maybe a handful of times he actually purposely dies, but because it really hurts him, like he experiences all the pain and everything. It's a little crazy sometimes.
That's a cool concept. I like that.
Yeah. And sometimes he comes back not all mentally there, because obviously he still has all the memories of everything that just happened. and cool. enjoying that. I've been playing some Destiny.
Mm-hmm.
New Moment of Triumph.
Not surprise.
Dropped this week, so been starting to work on that. Got the new exotic trace rifle. Really enjoying the hell out of that thing.
Yeah, that thing's awesome.
It's yeah. very fun.
And obviously some more PSO2.
Very yeah. nice.
Nice, nice.
Keeping that rolling.
Yeah, so for as unsurprising that it is that Thad is playing Odyssey, I'm playing a lot of Destiny. Shock. That's what I've been doing. And the new new linear is not linear. Jeez, Trace Rifle is really fun. There's too many guns that do that, and so that was confusing for me just then. But the new Trace Rifle is really fun. I actually, just before this, got my Catalyst. Nice. Finished. So that nice. Was dope. Shout out to iGame for his great YouTube video on where all of the eyes are. I have not gotten all of them yet, but I did get obviously enough to get the Catalyst complete.
iGame does know a few things.
He knows just a lot of things. Yeah, iGame, teach me, senpai. But yeah, so and I've loving my Warlock recently. I got a Wyrann in Iron Banner last week on my Warlock, and ever since I've just like been kind of married to her, which has been really fun. Yeah, I also was craving some single player action, so I re-downloaded. I have Xbox Game Pass on PC, and I re-downloaded Plague Tale: Innocence, okay. which I played about 3 chapters of a while ago. I watched there's a channel on YouTube I really like who this guy does a bunch of Let's Plays, and I watched him play Horizon Zero Dawn, and then I bought it. And then I watched him play Spider-Man, and then I bought it. And then I watched him play this game, and I was like, ooh, I gotta play this. And so I played it a little while ago, and then it's intense. It's hard for me to play a lot at once because it's a really intense story. But I played another chapter the other night, and it was great. Very good story. So that's what I've been doing. And then my husband and I have been working through, for the first time I'm ever watching it, he's seen it before, the animated series X-Men. So
nice.
Rogue quickly moved up to like my number 2 favorite superhero. Yeah. It's Spider-Man, Rogue, Captain Marvel, actually. So Rogue is great. I love her. I have a really cool Rogue pop behind me. It's the new one from that series. It's so good with the hair and everything. It's great.
Classic.
Very nice.
Yeah. So that's what's been going on in Radical House. House of Rad.
New Radical House.
New Radical House. 3 weeks. Well, it's been around for a while, but I've owned it for 3 weeks.
There you go.
Shout out, Mama. She's staying rogue for the win there.
Yeah. So I've been, like most of you, playing a lot of Destiny 2 again. Having fun with that. Actually enjoying the grind. I'm not burnt out right now.
Yeah.
So.
Great.
And I did do a little
through a raid last week.
Yes.
Fun. Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. That is true.
We played some Iron Banner on Monday, so that was fun with our man Lupo. And I did something else, guys. I re-downloaded SOTOR.
Oh, that's right.
5 days.
Yeah, Prime and Nate were saying 4 to 5 days, and I'd be done playing it. And I'm like, man, I don't know. I enjoy the game. I'd
love it if there was just a little bit more action combat.
Yeah.
It's a great game. I hate tab targeting.
Yeah.
I can deal with it, but the way it just works, like, because I've played so many other, like, full action MMOs.
Yeah,
I just can't get over it. Like, ESO has some of the best action combat for an MMO that I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you could just take that and put it into SWTOR, it would be the number one game, I bet.
Yeah. I mean, it's the story, I
good
think.
As it is.
Yeah. I think it's more of like a story-based MMO, because it's like BioWare writing, typical BioWare writing.
But what was the last thing you said about it on one of your streams recently, and someone asked you about it?
I said it was a little too slow paced.
Just don't know if I can get back into it.
Yeah, just don't know. I don't know.
I wanted to try. And plus, I wanted to play as like a Like, I rewatched The Mandalorian, and so that, like, rekindled. Like, oh, I want to play as a merc, you know?
How many times have you watched Mando?
Three times through.
All right, that was the number I had in my head.
Yeah.
Very nice.
And I had, like, 3,000 cartel coins, so I went and bought a Mando skin and, you know, re-downloaded so I can play like a Mandalorian.
We'll get a game in a few years, don't worry.
Yeah, right. But it was funny, and this is going to go for Sergeant Mad Dog because he redeemed a Star Wars lore fact. I picked up on a lot of stuff I missed like the first time through. I had like a little theory that came through about why Baby Yoda is so important, or the child. And yeah, I'll just give it right here. My theory was that, you know, when in episode 3, I don't have the tinfoil hat. I can't put it on. Sorry, fake.
Lame.
But, episode 3, he's looking and he's looking in at the client and the cloner. And they're talking about Baby Yoda. And they say, extract the necessary material that you need and they'd be done with it. He's like, but we were given instruction to bring it in alive. I was like, hold on. We know the Emperor died and returned the Jedi and he was cloning himself, but Jedi can't be cloned very well. And each one of them are kind of all jacked up, you know, deformities and stuff. So was he trying to get something from Baby Yoda to try to make his clone better? So that was my tie-in right there.
Maybe.
And so two of the lore facts that I found out on my next playthrough is that there is Prez Vizsla, the bigger guy that's played by John Favreau. Well, Vizsla is the last name of the guy who was the leader of the Mandalorians in the Clone Wars with the Darksaber, Pre Vizsla. He's the one that fought Darth Maul, all that. So I was like, oh, dude, that's a cool little lore fact. And then I found out, as I was looking at more of this stuff, that the Razor Crest, which is the Mandalorian ship, was in The Rise of Skywalker. I never realized it. Huh. Like in what that scene when they're coming in
with all the ships flying in.
Yeah, it's in there. And I was like, what? So, you know, either the ship gets passed down or something. Anyways.
Yeah. Hmm. No, that's interesting. That's
pretty cool fact.
Yeah.
May tie in.
GG.
May tie in.
GG.
So let's get hyped for Cyberpunk.
Let's get big hype.
Meat and potatoes.
Oh, yeah.
So I want to know, before we get into all the nitty gritty, because Prime's going to take us through it. You got the Nomad Street Kid in corporate. I want to know in chat, and I want to know from you guys, who are you going to pick? What path are you going to pick?
Easy.
I've been thinking about this a bit, and I think I'm going to have to go. I'm going to probably end up going with the corporate.
100%.
Really? It definitely 100%. Feels I like this game is like the awesome sequel for me to the Deus Ex games. I really love those games.
Mm-hmm.
I have at least, I think I have 3 playthroughs of the first one, and I only did the second one time, but still really enjoyed those. I get a lot of feelings about like from that. And so like, and Jensen was he wasn't necessarily a corporate man, but he worked for the corporate side a lot. So I'm going to end up probably building my character very similar to that.
Okay.
So corporate for sure for me.
I've been on the fence between corporate and really curious to see how the Nomad plays out.
Mm-hmm.
I know Johnny Silverhand, I believe, is a Nomad. And so if that playthrough gets me better, I don't know, interactions, dialogue with him,
mm-hmm.
and it's pretty cool. And if it's Mad Max, as they describe style, I'll give it a shot, but probably corporate will be my first playthrough too.
Yeah. I mean, strong same. I'm a Slytherin, so cutthroat manipulative sounds good to me. Similar to what Crow said, which is like it reminds him of a different game. Oof. I know they did bad, but your girl loves Cerberus from Mass Effect. So if that's not Cerberus, then I don't know what is. So
that's very true. I gotta change it.
I know it. I'm a big Cerberus fan. I've done some art role play in the day, so like I have kind of like original characters that are in the back of my mind, and one of them is like a Cerberus kind of gal who basically is what corporate says here. So like I'm basically just gonna make my Cerberus OC
there you go.
And go to town. So it's gonna be pretty fun. I'm really excited about corporate. If I was gonna do a second
Living the Dream,
I'd probably do Street Kid, I think. But corporate, that you cannot change my mind. I'm like that meme right now.
Right. Corporate, yeah.
Change my mind. Yeah. Yeah. All I gotta say is Country Boys will survive. So I'm gonna go Nomad.
Yeah. You're such a mule.
It just fits man. Like you're on the outskirts. You gotta find two pieces of stick to make your car go. So that's what you're gonna do, you know?
That's good. Old boys gotta stick together.
Money. I'm gonna buy my car with my corporate money.
So you know, I'll just like, I don't know, I'll like
piece it together
or piece it together for you. Yeah. You can pay me to piece your car together.
I got a new
need
car
that carburetor. I got a catalytic. I'll
wire that carburetor into an alternator.
Oh yeah. Man.
You got any of that blinker fluid?
Right. Oh,
headlight fluid.
Let that get low.
Got refilled headlight fluid.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, that's one thing we noticed recently with the recent reveal was CD Projekt Red diving deep with those three origins. Mm-hmm. I mean, we knew kind of in the past what some of the classes were.
Yeah.
But the origins, what really took me for a ride was how no matter which origin you pick, you start in a different spot.
Yeah.
Either in the city or outside in the Badlands. And it's going to, the prologue, by the time the prologue ends, you're going to end up in the same area you'd be, which no matter which class you picked.
Yeah.
So that for one says there's definitely going to be three playthroughs, at least for me. I'm going to have to do each one.
Yeah.
I mean, most games you pick a class, you still start in the same area, take the same path. This is completely different, and that's pretty cool. That's
amazing. Yeah, there's a lot of things that Cyberpunk's doing, you know, in the RPG genre that's not done a lot while still, you know, feeling familiar, like it's, you know, still an RPG game. And but they're like, even the fact that it's first person is just so RPG games are not first person very often. No. Like, and
very rarely.
I've heard that be a complaint from some people, but I think it's great. Like, just do it. It's gonna feel so immersive. And then you get these like completely different starting points. It's so great.
Yeah. Especially if they can nail down the shooting aspect of it and the combat.
Yeah.
First person view. And some games have done a good job. Like Chronicles of Riddick, that was an amazing first person shooting fighting game. It's one of the examples. But they can nail that down. A first person view is not going to be any issue for me whatsoever.
Yeah.
Maybe not for Mule because he's complained about it.
I mean, here's the thing, man. If you're going to go, like, if we're going to get into it, So if you're doing first person point of view, the gunplay has to be crisp. If it's off and it doesn't feel good, it's just not going to jive well. That's why I think it would be better suited, in my opinion, if we had a third person view, kind of over the shoulder view for shooting. Also because I feel like one of the cool things about Cyberpunk is the aesthetics and the environment. And I want to see those on myself as I'm walking around the city and be like, dude, look at my face. It's like half cyborg. It looks freaking awesome, you know?
And just look in the mirror and you can see it.
They need to have a photo mode if they're going to not have a third person option. I agree with you there. There's nothing more fun than playing a game where you make your own character and then you can like just like tab out and see your character or you're playing third person. They will have, so Fake in the chat is saying they will have a photo mode, which I'm not surprised. I mean, most games don't, or most games do, excuse me. have one. I said the wrong thing.
Yeah. It's AAA. It's 2020. It's
AAA, right. I mean,
CD Projekt Red.
At this point, the only game that doesn't have a photo mode that needs one is Destiny, Bungie, if you're listening. They're going to have one for sure. So you'll still be able to enjoy your character, just not like whilst playing. Plus, there'll be cutscenes and everything where you'll see your character. So.
Yeah, and I think you can actually hit your like start menu too, and it you can see your character. If I remember correctly, I remember seeing some stuff like
that. In the menus, it'll have your character on the screen from what I saw.
Correct.
Right. And well, what's before we cool go is, to like, go ahead.
Crow. When you like change your character, it's visibly shown on them. Like augments will actually show up as part of the features of your character.
Yeah.
So
that's gonna be cool, man. We've seen tons of different augment options on all the NPCs, so there's got to be a huge variety that we can do to our own character.
At least
I hope so.
Yeah. I mean, they've said that the doctors that work on you,
fixers,
like there's a bunch of different fixers, and all the different fixers have different things, so you won't find everything at the same one.
And yes, Mama, the beards will be shown off. Beards
will be shown.
The beard customization apparently is very impressive to those who've played it. And I'm excited about that.
Early on, they made a big fuss in a good way about the character customization. So knowing me, I'll spend about an hour in character customization before I even get started on the game. This is the way. I spend a lot of time. Don't tilt your head. I have a made up character in my head. It's not even real. Believe me, I can spend a lot of time in a character creation.
Red, I have almost 700 hours into PSO2. Probably 100 of those are in the character customization.
Yeah, I play a lot of Destiny Mule. Like it's an important part of my gaming experience. Okay, a lot of dress.
I'm gonna be like, yeah, that looks good. We'll just go default everything. Let's go.
I've seen your characters. I know how you play.
Bald beard. We're good.
That's it. I just need a bald and beard, and we're good.
And you can do that.
Funny. Well, there is some in-depth details about these three classes. One thing I wanted to mention before we did that is, you know, we talked about how each origin takes you to the same spot. Well, the reason you're able to customize it and actually be an RPG is because you come to a point where you're completely stripped of everything you had.
Yeah.
So correct. You have a prologue, a story, you already have abilities and gear and mods and whatnot. Something happens, you're completely stripped, and then it goes to like a cutscene where it's like 6 years up until the part where you start the actual game.
Yeah.
Where the demo or the demo starts, you know, where you get to it starts teaching you how to play the game. So even before you start actually playing your character, building your character, there's a butt ton that happens. And that's just, that already blows me away. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh, I can't wait.
Whew. Yeah. And speaking of each three characters, it's also noted that you'll have better access to weapons, tech, relationships, depending on which faction you choose. And the decisions you make along the way. We already know there's decisions to be made, but depending on which origin you choose, other factions are not going to relate to you in a good way or might relate to you in a bad way. You know, it's just from origin alone, you already have a plethora of options. That's quite amazing.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. Oof.
Now, I think I'm going to say... What was that?
I said, is it November yet?
I know it needs to be here already.
I mean, when I was reading these descriptions that you wrote out, Prime, the nomad, when I said that it was life of freedom, I was like, yes,
that's give the me nomad. Freedom.
Freedom, right? Baby.
It screams Texas.
It does.
And I said it with an accent. Dang it.
Texas, dang it.
It screams Texas.
Yeah. Well, you brought up nomad, so let's just go ahead and go with that. Think Mad Max. I haven't played the game, but I've seen the older and the newer movies, and it gives you a pretty good concept of you're out in the Badlands, the desert, fending for yourself. And the way they describe it is these characters are roaming the Badlands in a looting scrapyards, raiding fuel depots, life on the road, and living in a tribal lifestyle. So you sound like you have factions within factions in this desert area. People just trying to scrap by. That's pretty neat. And that definitely screams Mad Max.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Didn't they say that like get like some kind of bonus too with their like cars or something? Because since they kind of live out of their cars, I don't know. Maybe that's just
I might have heard that. I know your cars are highly customizable. So I'm guessing that's.
Yeah. And they like loot the scrap yards and stuff too. So yeah, maybe they like have access to more car parts. I didn't mean to cut you off there, Thad.
That's good. I'm over it, I think. there's also.
I'm following the notes, man.
Right, right. But you bring up that access to more parts. I also recall in a video they have access to like shipments of weapons and gear. So they might not be able to, say, have access to directly like the Corpo might have or a black market like Street Kid, but they know the logistics of it, and they can intercept and steal. Once again, Mad Max.
Dude, I want like two guns in my hand, shooting them in the air and be like, freedom, mofos!
And I'll just call my drones to drop something off for me.
There you go. There you go. Okay.
Yeah.
Do a little Amazon drone stuff for yourself.
Yeah.
Society wise, the nomads are pretty much at the bottom of the totem pole per se. Yeah. But they're all about family integrity and, like Neil said, freedom.
Freedom, baby.
Freedom.
FRW.
Thank you, Marty, to mention it. Nomads will have unique dialogue and options in the Badlands and more advantages like the vehicles and being an engineer. But I think I recalled earlier is that I think Johnny Silverhand actually is of Nomad origin. So if that helps that interaction and more dialogue options, I'm excited for that.
That's basically like a Luke Skywalker.
It's a fun fact you mentioned that. Did you guys notice Johnny Silverhand in that last demo at the very end? He kind of phased out.
Yes.
Yeah. A little bit.
He's not a physical. He's a like a projection in your mind.
Yeah.
That is too cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
They explained it like there's a
force ghost.
Yeah, pretty much.
Some like chip that he's in or he's interacting with you through. Through the whole thing. Like, he'll show up. Like you can see him, but other people can't. Like I've seen multiple things where you're in a conversation with someone and he just like pops up over in the background, just like standing there listening.
Yeah, like leaning against the wall, like Zero Dawn, kind of like with silence, almost. Yeah,
kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that when I first discovered that, I was like, "What? Bring it on, Mule.
Tell me more."
So yeah, for your perspective, he is like a force ghost.
Jeez, oh, man,
that's gonna be so cool.
Love it,
and it's Keanu freaking Reeves. That's gonna be amazing. I can't wait to hear how is in there.
Yeah.
A lot. Maybe not.
You're breathtaking.
You're breathtaking. I'm thinking probably more like John Wick than anything.
Yeah.
Because, God, he freaking nailed it in those movies. All right. Corpo is the most popular one. We'll say that for last. Street Kid. I know Anxious is very pumped for Street Kid. So they're like the middle ground street smart class. Kind of a little bit of both worlds. They grew up in Night City. And they're considered the rogues of Night City, doing what they can to survive. So maybe not so much the slums, but they came from a low spot, raised and brought up with the gangsters and fixers, the dolls of Night City. And because of that, they're super savvy with all those types.
Yep.
So they're able to, you know, interact, mingle. I'm guessing much better dialogue options, being able to do things without force. With these individuals and gangs and fixtures and whatnot, maybe better repairs done on their implants. But just like the Badlands, they'll have, like I just mentioned, extra dialogue options. So I'm, you know, Night City is an amazing looking place.
Oof.
And listening to Paris talk about it, he said that he was blown away because the city is just alive no matter where you go.
Yep.
Constant dialogue options, people actually doing things, not just mindless NPCs going through a few lines and then repeat. There's stuff going on. That's reason enough for me to really kind of debate on maybe going Street Kid first, because I want to see Night City for all it's worth, mm-hmm. right off the bat.
And from what I've seen, you're probably going to spend a lot of time in areas that are considered like the Street Kid area.
Yeah,
sure.
You're going to
get out of the slums or however.
Yeah, you probably will spend a whole lot of time there, and a bit more in the corporate as well. A lot less, it seems like, in more of the Outlands, the Badlands. So it'll be interesting.
Yep.
It's hard to know.
Playing a nomad, you're going to be coming into a city, and you're like country kid coming into the big city.
Yeah.
A corporate is going to be like the big big wig that's getting like demoted, losing all of his stuff. And then Street Kid, it'll be interesting to see.
Right. Because you would assume he doesn't have a lot to lose, but that story is yet to unfold. So I have no idea how they're going to play that out.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's hard to know. We may be in the Badlands for a long period of time at one point, because everything we've seen so far is just a prologue. I mean, like, it's a lot of stuff in the cities in the prologue so far, but, you know, I have no idea. So, I mean, you think about Witcher, which I know I'll be talking about shortly, but like when you kind of first get into Witcher, you see a map and you're like, oh, I'm gonna be over here, and then you're also like in Skellige for like 30 hours, I was in Skellige for 30 hours, that's where Yennefer is, so whatever, who knows. We have no idea. And I think that is so good about how they've been promoting their product, is we really have just like no idea about what's going on.
It's probably the most secretive and hyped up game that I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And kudos to CD Projekt Red, because I never really came across them until Witcher 3.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think most people are the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I fell in love with that game. I put 307 hours into that. And that game is, what, 2017?
2015.
2015?
Yeah, I think it's even older.
Okay.
It's been a while.
It's been a while. And if they can do that much and basically take my breath away in a game, a game that old, I cannot imagine how Cyberpunk is going to be for me. I mean, you guys might not even see me on Discord anymore.
Yeah, you will. Okay, pictures of him taking shit. He's gonna show up to like the podcast with like food in his beard and like
right.
I'll have like braids in it that he didn't do. They just formed Also, shout out to chat for validating me being in Skellige for a really long time. Thank you. Thank you guys.
Right.
Yeah.
I will say, speaking of Skellige and Witcher 3, Skellige was the only place that I did not clear all the question marks. I looked at it and was like,
so many.
I can't do that.
I didn't, but I still spent a lot of time there. Yeah, there's a lot going on.
I mean, that was every question mark in every mission in every other area, 100%, except for Skellige.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And still had 307 hours. So, last but not least, as far as origins go, Corpo, cutthroat and manipulative.
Let's go.
Jerks.
So Jerks.
Don't encroach on my
way to describe it off the bat. I think it's going to be pretty much telling of how the story is going to go. Few people leave corporate world with their lives, fewer still with their souls intact.
Ooh.
I mean, the dialogues and the stories that are going to go down with the corporate life, it's going to be pretty interesting. Sure. They've been the royals.
Royals?
Exploit Royals? Secrets and use information as a weapon. So there's going to be some blackmailing and, you know,
it's some like your
cutthroat things going down to get things done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Rad's all like, me.
I'm not like that in real life. So when I get the opportunity to like be a as Fake called them, just reading this out of chat, a fancy douchebag. I'm really excited about it. So, you fancy, huh? So yeah, fancy. No, I'm fancy. It's
bougie.
I get to run around like Draco Malfoy. Like I also have a Draco Malfoy pop back here. What better is there? Like there isn't. It's going to be so fun. And something that Crow said, it made me think, you know, I think he was saying, like, if you start as a street kid, you may be more familiar with a lot of the environment that we may be in, because you've grown up in that. And then, you know, nomads coming in, they're like, whoa, Night City exists. Like, they, I've never
even been there. Dadgum,
oh, my tires can't even get through. But like, what's interesting is corporate, like there, you said, you meant to say rules, but you said royals, but like, they're kind of the royals of Night City. They run Night City. And then you're telling me that I'm going to be this big hoity-toity Draco Malfoy kind of Night City chick, and then I'm going to fall flat on my face and have to like deal with it? Oh, that sounds like a great story to me.
Oof, you just took it to a different level.
Ooh,
like, that sounds, you haven't really thought this out.
Yeah,
you are Cerberus.
Listen, y'all know that I play Destiny a lot. My bread and butter is RPG games, okay? Yeah. I've not been as excited for an RPG game as this in a long time, so I'm very, very excited.
Mama, oh, all the sins.
I feel like Mama would play a corporate just so she could put Mule down for drinking his water out of the mug.
You can't put a good one down. That redneck.
What do you mean you drink water out of this mug?
That's hilarious.
I'm using a cup.
There you go. Yeah. So, speaking of Corpo and Cutthroat, when you are a Corpo, you're going to... Carpo. When you're a Corpo...
Carpe
you're
diem.
Yeah, I can't talk today. When you meet others with the same background, you'll already know the game they play, their manipulation, so you have a lot of opportunities and extra dialogue to actually call them out, not fall for their tricks and traps. Boom. And Brad's like, praise
this
you.
This is so great. This is phenomenal.
Yep. So, I mean, Carpo looks really, really, really appealing.
It's going to be fun.
Just saying. So, that's the three origins you can choose from. You start in different areas, takes you to the same spot. You fall flat in your face, left with nothing, and build your way back up. Oof. And I cannot wait to see how that unfolds.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, there's also three classes we know of that are going to really be, you know, determine your playstyle.
Netrunner, like, yes.
They're your general.
Solo.
Yeah. They're like your general classes. Like,
right.
These are kind of like a main grouping of skills. You'll end up probably going into, you're not going to just work all in one. Now, you probably could, but I'm sure some things would be really rough if you all went, like, say you went all in Netrunner and then you have to go up against, what they call her, the Sasquatch, one of those videos, like that might be a little rough.
She was a hoss, and if you're not, you're gonna have to spread your skills out for sure. If you go, like I said, one straight branch, you're gonna suffer on certain part of the games, and once you go back and respec your person. But we can definitely go down this real quick.
Wait, I want to know what you pick first. I want to know what you
guys pick. As much, I love hacking. So I want to be a Netrunner all day, especially after I saw this special weapon that you can get as a Netrunner, which looks like Wonder Woman's lasso. It's
the nanowire. Yeah.
Nanowire. That's cool. That's cool. Slash with it. You can whip it out to hack someone from a distance. Choke people out with it. I'm like, oh yeah, stealthy.
That is you, Prime. That is you.
Very
yep.
Nice.
Yep. So, stealthy computer hacking wizard type is going to be me. How about you guys?
I want to go as well, Netrunner, but I'm also kind of like thinking ahead. I also want to be heavy, like blades, like the Mantis blades.
Techie,
so I want to be like the techie tactical.
Yeah,
kind of type. I know playing with some other people like Lupo. Like Lupo, he will never go the stealthy type. I love the whole tactical stealth, like sneaking around, taking out every person yes, before yes. they even notice. Like yep. I love the Batman games, like just sneaking around, spending half an hour in one room just to clear all the guys without anyone noticing.
It's satisfying, isn't it?
It is. That's going to be a little bit more my play style. And then feels like hack, being able to hack the like weapons and turrets and stuff. That's going to be a lot of fun. I'm going to enjoy that. And then like they've shown us like in the middle of combat, you can be having a fist fight with someone pretty much and hack into their systems. And you'll be able to do that faster as like a net runner.
Dang.
Which is going to be interesting.
Yeah, Lupo and I have something in common. Cassandra in Assassin's Creed has muscles, baby. So I just run full force in there and kill a bunch of people. And so I will probably go, I might go techie first. And the reason for that is it doesn't seem like I have to be super stealthy, but I do want to kind of stick with what I think would match someone who's corporate. So like my gut is telling me to go solo. I think that seems so fun, but like a corporate person maybe wouldn't be like super like a what did not fake here right a full strength man like a corporate person does not stream full strength man to me, so I'm gonna go techie. But then also I think from what Crow said is it's kind of like a tree, so you can pick things in multiple classes and sort of like start techie but then throw some solo things in there. Yeah. Like one of the first things I always do in games is like any perk that ups your health. So like wherever that is on the tree, I'm going to like solo. Do that first.
There is one, I think in solo that like you start regenerating health.
Yeah. But like as for basically. Like the specific types of, oh my gosh, I'm losing my ability to word, you know, like the, being able to craft things and do off the record engineering and stuff. Like I want to do those first. Maybe buff my health, but then move that direction. This feels like more corporate to me.
Yeah. I got you.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no question what Mulehorn Jenkins is going to do.
Solo.
You know it's going to be solo,
we
dude.
We're playing gonna be a completely different game as the rest of us. I don't know what you're doing over there.
You're going to point in a direction, and I'll go, there's where the explosions are going to be. Let's go, guys.
Well, here's an example for you, Mule. In the trailers, your partner is Jackie. Jackie's pretty much a solo build. Buffed up, busting through walls, ripping doors down, smashing faces in.
Yes.
Armor built, big guns. That's Mule.
Yes.
There you go. And, you know, the Netrunner has the, what did you call it, Crow? The nanowire?
Nanowire, yeah.
The techie has the blades. And Solo has gorilla hands. I mean, these things, like, are buffed up and extend out. I mean, it's meant to smash some stuff, and I can so see that for Mule, the classic warrior class,
dude. I'm just reading some of your notes here about, like, you know, having athletic and the armor, and I was like, you know, I'm gonna be like probably like 95% solo and 5% techie.
I can see that.
Can I craft the stuff I need to make me stronger? Okay, let's go. You know.
For those that don't know in chat that might not know, a little breakdown of each class real quick. Techie is the crafters. They do off-record engineering for various clients. Survive Night City by building, fixing, modifying technology, and weaponsmithing, teaching, and electronic security. So bypassing security, weaponsmithing, building, crafting stuff, modifying and repairing your own modifications, I guess, better and quicker. Or with less resources, perhaps. And of course, the Mantis Blades. Oh, it's so satisfying. The Netrunner, they hacking, programming, electronics, cybersecurity. You can see them in the demos hacking turrets, forcing to open fire on other people, remotely shutting down other implants, or making people shoot themselves with their own gun, or making someone's ordnance that they have on their body blow up. I mean, you saw one where they made one guy, like, he was waking out, some kind of alarm was going off on him, and so another guy went to go see what was happening, and he made that guy's grenades blow up, and they got close together, and took him both out. I'm like, that is so stinking cool. And they used the, like I mentioned, the nanowire to you know, from, I don't know, 20 feet away, hack someone in mid-combat. Yeah. That blew me away. And see, solo class, like I mentioned, the warrior class, guns for hire, they're mercenaries, hitmen, bodyguards, violent work with whoever can pay, mule all the way, usually ex-military or a corporate army, skilled with weapons, combat proficiency, some stealth, perception, athletics, and armor.
100%.
So, I mean, I'm probably going to go 40 net, 50 net, 40 tech, and then 10 solo. I'm going to blend it out somewhat.
Dude, Ace in chat says, I'll
probably end up doing like a 50-50 solo techie.
Yeah. Ace says you can't decide now. And I'm going to tell you, Ace, just go solo, baby. Just blow it up, man. You know you want to.
Go solo, baby.
Yeah.
So there's one other area that really was demonstrated in the last demo that I think is really cool. It's the brain dance.
Mm-hmm.
It's where you access the memories of another person. I don't think they necessarily have to be dead, but
not necessarily.
Paris also described this as a mix of Witcher 3 senses, Batman Arkham Detective mode on steroids.
Yeah.
And from what I saw, that's really stinking cool. It's basically you're in a virtual simulation, kind of like the Matrix, or a really watered down version of it. And you're basically interacting as them and seeing things from different perspectives. So you can literally rewatch a part of history or that something happened from someone else's perspective.
Yeah.
That's like the ultimate detective mode. And that's going to be really awesome.
That's insane.
Yeah.
It makes me think of Assassin's Creed Odyssey, to be honest, the Artemis system. You hack into the DNA of the ancients and then you're living through their perspective.
Yeah. Right.
So I'm going to really enjoy that.
Yeah, it was really cool seeing it in the Night City Wire a couple weeks ago. I wrote a little article up about it, and that was one of the main things they showed. And it was really cool, and I think people were kind of like, they were wanting gameplay, and like that was a gameplay? I don't know. But I think what's more interesting about whether that was or wasn't gameplay is how are we going to use that in the game? Like, where does that come into the story? Why is it so important? They made a big deal to show us about Braindance. Like, I'm really looking forward to, like, when does V decide that they need to use a Braindance to figure something out? Why do they need to use it? So I think that's really, really cool. And
I agree.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts on Braindance, boys?
I'm just hoping it's not overused.
Yeah.
I don't want it to also be overused, but then I don't want it to be only used like one or two times.
Yeah.
Because they're making a big deal about it. So I doubt they're going to you're only going to use it like one or two times. It's probably going to be, I can't remember what it was, but I remember some other game, or maybe I'm just kind of combining thoughts of different things together, but like, I could see it being used as kind of like Arkham, where it's a detective. You're using it to figure out things. So maybe you go into, like, say you're supposed to meet a contact and you find them dead. So you need to figure out what happened to them. So you take their brain dance, because it seems like it's part of like most people's cybernetics. It connects to like some like much huger system, kind of like, imagine like the system for Watch Dogs. Like, it's everywhere, it's watching everything
right
at the same time. So maybe you'll have to once in a while use it to help figure out where something is, like almost like Eagle Sense. You're backtracking, figure out what happened through crimes and stuff.
Like tracking items. Like, that's another thing you could probably use it for.
Yeah, because in the one thing that they showed off, like, it's two guys robbing a convenience store. And you're using different things to figure out, like, you can scan, you don't just see the or feel the perspective just from the main guy. You see it from the lady that he shoves onto the ground. You see it through the security systems in the convenience store. It's a wider network than just a single person's memories and implant.
Totally.
You can use that, but you can use a lot more than just that.
Right. Right. Yeah. For sure. So, Mule, any thoughts on Braindance? Or?
Yeah, it really makes me think. I can't remember that movie. There was a movie where you're a detective and everyone has basically implants in their eyes and everything is recorded in what they do in their life.
That's and a Black Mirror episode?
No, it's actually a movie.
But
I can't remember the name of the movie. But this is what it makes me think of is you can just let's pull up their SIM card or whatever from their brain and see what they saw. And what's interesting in the movie, and I wonder if they're going to weave this into the game, is how people use that to manipulate situations to make it appear like certain things happen and they really don't. So the corporate side of things can kind of use that for blackmail, basically.
I mean, that's actually a big concept of Ghost in the Shell. A lot of stuff like that happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They use people's memories and doctor it to make it look like something else happened. Okay. Or just straight up mind control people.
I just watched an episode of X-Men about that.
Yep.
Yep, totally.
I wish I could remember the name of that movie was, but it was really good because it really makes me think about this a lot.
Neil's going to wake up at 3 in the morning.
It was nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
It has, what's his name? Clive? I don't know. I'll have to try to find it.
Clive Owen?
I can't remember. I'll have to look.
Clive Owen. That was a Black Mirror episode for sure.
Because I'm thinking, what I think of is...
I'll find it.
Want to say... Well, it also kind of reminds me of Minority Report.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what Matt
wrote. I get wise from that a little bit. But that's not the one that I... There's another one that I'm thinking about as well.
Ooh, yeah. Ghost in the Shell. It's also a very good reference there.
Mm-hmm.
So, what are we thinking about things we're excited about and things we're not so excited about? I'll start it off with this. I already mentioned the open world, how it's alive. I cannot wait for that. Once again, referencing Paris, he said when he played it, he noticed there was a cyber assassin out there who was killing police. And he turned the corner one time, saw it go down. It was like, nope. Not going to mess with that. I'll come back to that later because he was underleveled. He knew he would get murked for trying to intervene. But the fact that was happening all around him, he's like, man, that's so cool. Like, I agree. That is awesome.
I do like, though, that they did make comments in one of their videos like, you could be going up against a lot higher level guys, but okay, so we're not going to fight them. Let's talk with them to get through this. Just try to wheel and deal.
Instead combat of options, hacking options, engineering options, and dialogue. I mean, there's so many different branches you can take from a single scenario. And that's not on top of the origin and class you pick. I mean, the playthrough replayability is going to be amazing in this game.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Yeah. That lends to choices and consequences. Hacking a brain dance, Johnny frickin' Silverhand. Can't wait for that. And beards. Can't wait to have my character finally have a good, great beard. I think, was it? It was Dragon Age Inquisition and maybe the Division. I had a good beard.
Division, that's there were some good beards.
Andromeda had okay beards. It wasn't long, but they were kind of full, depending on the hair. I mean, the character. Yeah. The character customization in Andromeda wasn't good, but it was okay for beards.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad.
Yeah.
Wasn't too bad. Heartburns, I hear the driving's not that great yet, but they're working on it, so we'll see how the final product is.
Yeah, that'll be interesting.
Y'all ready for this?
I'm really divided on the beards because a lot of RPG type games I play as female, but that's mainly because I have this golden rule. Like, it's gaming rule for me. If it's a third person game, I'm gonna play as a female because I don't want to look at a guy's ass all the time. I'd rather look at something that I enjoy.
Just putting it out there, I guess.
Yep. I mean, I've said it multiple times on different streams. Yep. Like, there, no, I play female characters because I'm just going to look at something that I enjoy. I don't want to look at some guy's ass all the time.
So half the hours you spend in this game is just walking around, right?
And then, like, but it's also, like, it's not third person, but it also gives me that Jensen vibe, like I've said before. And I really love that character. Mm-hmm. It's going to be hard. Yeah. Really hard.
There'll definitely be lots of hours spent in customization to decide my first playthrough and second.
100%. Yeah.
Facts. Mule, Rad.
Rad, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to the customization of the characters and just the individuality of it. In many of the articles that I write about games, a huge word that I use is immersion. I'm just really looking forward to sinking into the world and, you know, fleshing out my character and walking away from it with the same sort of feeling, I hope, from this with the same sort of feeling as I feel about, you know, my favorite games, Mass Effect, Horizon Zero Dawn, Witcher. I know in some of those you don't make your own character, but you still flesh out your character. You know, you're still making choices throughout the game that give you that sense of individuality. So when it comes to games like this, these AAA titles, that the whole point is to tell you a story. Oof, I'm salivating at the mouth, like, thinking about it. So that's what I'm really excited for. I saw earlier in the chat people were talking about romances. I love all of that stuff. I just love the ability to make a character that resembles me, but I have the freedom to be Rachel in a world where consequences aren't quite the same. I've gotten better about naming characters. My first ever OC in a game was Skyrim, and I didn't know what to name her, so I was a Nord named Rachel. But I've come a long way since then, so it'll be really, really fun. I mean, I know in this game you're named V, yeah, but whatever. My brain doesn't need to commit to that. It's fine.
There you go. Yeah. There you go.
But yeah. So
I think some of the things I'm most excited for is the actual environment that Cyberpunk's in. Like,
yes,
I love sci-fi and futuristic type films, and just the thought of, like, being in a world that's like that gets me excited. Because
Blade, like, Runner,
yeah, exactly, like a Blade Runner feel, you know, or what's that Netflix show? Gosh, I went blank.
Altered Carbon.
Altered Carbon. Yeah.
Or even exactly. Expanse.
Yeah, Expanse. Yeah. It's like, it's very cool sci-fi, techie, like futuristic, kind of messes with your head a little bit, you know, because, like, whoa, what if you have chips in your brain and what can that do? Like, just that kind of stuff is cool. And the fact that you can, like, basically do like you do in Mass Effect, and you can just kind of make yourself kind of part of the machines.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah! I chose that ending.
Yeah. Neil, did you play the Deus Ex games at all?
No, I did not.
Oh,
yeah. The whole, like, unifying humanity, like, with the chip, like, that is almost the premise of the first one.
Yeah,
like, they're putting out this chip, and this company is using it to control people.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting because it's going to bring up a lot of, like. Like, the things that make games good is when you're put into a moral dilemma, right? When you're playing the game and you're like,
Paragon, Renegade.
What I do, you know?
Choose.
Paragon. Yeah.
So that type of stuff I'm excited
very
for.
Paragade.
Yeah.
I'm here. A very renegade, but I do it for the right reasons.
I know. Yeah. It's save game, renegade. Okay.
Then you go back
in. Both game, Paragon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But honestly, man, I'm a little worried about the driving. I'm a little worried about the shooting and not having the third person point of view. because if they don't nail the combat and the driving with the first person perspective, it's going to feel kind of like hokey. Just kind of.
Well, the driving has.
The driving, yeah, I don't have think is third, first is or third. First per- I think you can change okay, for driving.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
That's good. But like, especially with the gunplay, like as much as like for us, we like RPGs, but we like first person shooters as well. And when you have games that are smooth, like Halo and Destiny and all these other mm-hmm. games like Apex that yeah. we play, if it's not very smooth in the gunplay and it feels kind of clunky, that will probably put me off. And that I'll probably play it, but I don't know how far I would get within the game unless the story just compels me enough.
Right.
So that's I'm really worried about that, man, because like some of the video I saw on the gameplay, it looked not super crisp, but I know they're still working on it. Like it's a yeah. it's a work in progress. But
yeah. we've only seen the older builds anyway, so
yeah, and some yeah. of those videos you see, like they're actually more edited and constructed to be shown. You know, it's not actual like this is somebody playing the game the way that you and I would play the game. Yeah. It's like those
it's constructed. Yeah.
Yeah. Those funny, like, I remember watching, oh, I hope we get an announcement this week, this weekend. I remember watching something for a Far Cry game, like, a few years ago, and it was, like, the slowest pan I'd ever seen. And I was like, that better not be what the game is like, because I do not have time for a pan to be that slow. And it's just, you know, it's just part of the demonstration. And the other thing I was going to say is, you are so spot on when it comes to, especially, I was just watching a video about, PvP and Destiny, and the content creator said we are so spoiled in Destiny because it is maybe the best gunplay first person game out right now. Like the gunplay mm-hmm. is so good, the first person yeah. aspect. And so Mule, I just encourage you so strongly to not compare apples to oranges, because Cyberpunk is just—it's not Destiny. Like it's not going to be the same as Destiny. Like don't let it hurt you.
That's why I was hoping for like a over the shoulder shooter, like in Mass Effect Andromeda or Mass Effect 3, because like with that over the shoulder shooter, you have a lot more wiggle room for forgiveness and the way it feels shooting.
Yes, you know? But this is a very fluid game, a lot faster pace than a lot of over the shoulder types are, and I feel like it's gonna help it for the first person.
I hope so.
I'm sure it'll be weird at first when we're so used to Destiny and Apex is so fast, you know. I'm sure it's gonna feel so weird, but I just have such faith. I mean Witcher was so good, you know. I know they're different games, but like
See, and I didn't like the Witcher combat.
Same universe.
We know. So Pal brings up a good point. He, you have to look at it through the lens of like a movie style or animated delivery. And I think he's right. You kind of look at it that way, smooth gameplay, you know, seamless throughout the interactions, not so heavy shooter. Yeah, I feel that.
I mean, I think the reason they're probably going first person is because there's going to be like tech abilities and things like that, like the freaking mantis arms that you have that like, so you can like stab people with sword like arms. Yep. You know, that's probably why you're going to be so first person, because it's kind of going to be gritty and in your face. You know,
yeah, it's part of the aesthetic. It's part of the aesthetic.
Yeah, it'll be better. It's going to be also if you're third person, like a HUD kind of breaks the immersion. If you're first person. If you've got a heads up display, that could just that's part, part of your cybernetics exactly. that's implanted, so it's going to pop up. We could go for hours on debating on this though, like why, like lore wise, why you're going to be first person, right? Like, obviously,
that's so, my.
Speaking of debating, a certain tinfoil subject you want to.
First of all, I literally meant to make a tinfoil hat and I forgot. I've had kind of a weird day, so I apologize. But I was going to put a tinfoil hat on. Thank you. You can wear it for me.
I got you. Rad.
Now, rad for you.
I was looking this up before we started. A couple years ago, I think that the creator, the main developer, I forgot his name. He, whatever, has said that no, we will not get a Siri cameo in the game. I don't buy it. I do not buy it. There's a whole scene in Witcher where she describes the entire world of Night City, and somehow, some way, Siri is going to come up in the game. Maybe we're not going to see Siri. Maybe we're not going to interact with Siri. I think we're going to see a wanted poster for Siri, something like that. Something that indicates that there's I don't want to spoil too much of Witcher, but it's been out for 5 years. If you haven't played it,
yeah,
sorry. There's going to be elves looking for Siri, whether we know they're elves or not, whatever. But something is going to come up. Good. Paris said there was a Siri thing pop up and we had to
find
it.
That's right. He did say that.
Phenomenal. I don't buy that. I didn't buy it then. I don't buy it now. What it's going to be, I'm not really sure. I bet Paris's experience did not allow him to pursue it. But there is going to be some heckin' Siri stuff in this game. If you guys have not played Witcher and you're not planning on it, but you're planning on playing this game and you don't know what I'm talking about, go to YouTube and just search Siri talks about Cyberpunk. The whole scene will pop up and you'll see what I'm talking about.
Yep.
And it's really, really cool. And I'm looking forward to seeing how they tie that together. And shout out to, it was Wolf. Wolf, you're the man. You know that already. Thank you for telling me that Paris said that was in there. So it's not really a tinfoil hat anymore, but I'm super stoked. I think that's great. And it's going to be awesome. Same universe, man. It's going to be so good.
November can't get here any faster.
Cannot.
Right.
And I want to give another shout out to Mad Dog, because of him, I actually get the game and the collector's edition box.
Wow.
I won that through one of his contests a while back. And
nice.
Very good.
I can't wait to see that package come in the mail and, you know, literally start drooling.
Did you order yourself a secret lab chair?
No,
I'll send it to you. They have like limited quantity Cyberpunk chairs. They look so dope.
Oh, need it. Dang.
Need it. I'm going to send it to you.
Because Paris got a lot of Cyberpunk gear lately, and one of them's a chair.
Yeah, it was probably that one. It's like bright yellow.
Oh, give me that Cyberpunk Xbox, man.
That looks good too. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to be getting it for PC.
Yeah.
Because of course, but yeah. I'll send you that link, Sad.
Do that.
Send the link.
This chair needs to be retired. My office chair.
Yeah. Well, right on, guys. Well, any closing thoughts before we wrap up this episode?
Thanks for having me on, and hopefully I stuck to the notes well.
You did.
Notably, thanks for having me on. I know I'm a guest, and it's always nice to be well thought of, so I appreciate that.
Yeah, for sure.
All day long.
Well, guys, if you like the podcast, then make sure you visit mulehorngaming.com on the about page to find more great content creators there. And if you're looking for some mule swag, you can find the store as well on the website. And if you would, guys, like us on Facebook, leave us a review on iTunes. You can follow us all on Twitter. Remember, guys, when in doubt,
hack it up.
Bang, bang, boom.
Explosion.
Hey.
Hack the network.
Bye.
Corporate for life.